book called Heavens to Betsy. And it's really a fun book because it traces the history of various sayings and expressions that we often use. Like we use that, so anybody use the phrase Heavens to Betsy? If you're not too many from the South, but Heavens to Betsy. Now, it's the name of his book, and it's the first one he tells us about, and it's kind of odd because it's the one he doesn't know where it comes from. And that's kind of the point of the book, right? But he said, you know, something Queen Elizabeth, Heaven to Betsy, or Betsy Ross. The best one he could come up with was that a lot of the frontiersmen named their musket Betsy. And maybe they were surprised when they hit anybody, I don't know. Because Heaven to Betsy means amazement and wonder, right? And so there's all sorts of fun things in here. You might be interested to know that the phrase, plain as the nose on your face, how long has that one been around? Well, Shakespeare used it in 1500 and something. So there's one that's been around over 500 years. I've got other fish to fry. In 1712, a gentleman wrote in his book, in a letter, he had no time for niceties or letters. I have other fish to fry. So there's a good one for us. The French changed it to other dogs to whip. And the German, we are more straightforward. It just said we have other things to do. Okay. Now, it's kind of fun when I was reading to realize how many of the sayings originate in the Bible. And so if you strain the gnat and swallow the camel, that you don't take care of the big things while you major on the little things, where does that come from? Well, Jesus has talked about that. Casting pearls before the swine came from Jesus. Hiding our light under a bushel. How about the handwritings on the wall? Where do you suppose that one came from? Book of Daniel, with when the hand appeared and wrote the message of judgment. Is it hard to kick against the pricks? Came from the life of Saul. And I found one, as I was reading a few months ago, in Ecclesiastes 10:20. Says, don't say anything bad about the king in private, lest the little bird carry your words and report what you have said. And what do we say? A little birdie told me. No, you don't say that? All right, well, I do. And so I thought that was. So sayings like these and proverbs in general are descriptive phrases. They're colorful. They paint pictures in our minds. They can be thought-provoking. And maybe in a good way, they use humor to make a point. So today I've chosen an unusual one that I have enjoyed for many years. In fact, for a while, I use this at the bottom of my email just because I don't think people expect to find good stuff like this in the Bible. You know, a lot of people expect when they go to the Bible to be bored, but Ecclesiastes 10:1 says, as dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. I want to preach today on how dead flies stink. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, is the version I use, so a little folly outweighs. There's the pleasant aroma of perfume can be spoiled by dead flies, even as a life of character and honor can be undone by a few deeds of evil. Let's examine a few of the details of this proverb. First of all, the word perfume, or the idea of aroma. And Paul used this metaphor in 2 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. He said, but thank God, he has made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. And Paul talked about our lives being a sweet aroma to the Lord. That was a common phrase in the Old Testament when it described the sacrifices and offerings. He said it would be as the smoke arose to the Lord and the incense came before him, it would be a sweet aroma to the Lord. But this proverb reminds us that dead flies stink. And it kind of ruins the aroma. Now, perfume that he's speaking of here was a practical commodity. You imagine living in the desert with all the heat and the sweat and being around sweaty animals. Boy, doesn't that just sound fun to crawl into your tent at night and everybody's been out in the heat and with the animals. And so it was a practical commodity, but it was also a pretty precious commodity. It was had important trade value. It was treasured by the wealthy. It could be very expensive. And it was a sign of wealth, the indulgence that a king could have. Remember King Xerxes, who decided he didn't like Queen Vashti because she wouldn't obey his whims. And so he set out and created this harem of women that for 1 year they took baths and had lotions and covered themselves with perfume. For a year, the extravagance. But perfume, no matter how costly, attracts flies, and dead flies stink. Now, there's a word in that proverb that I read it and I think, well, that's not fair. It outweighs. As dead flies cause a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils. Or the New International Version I use said, outweighs. That doesn't seem fair. A vial of perfume in all of its beauty and expensiveness can be ruined by just a few dead flies. That doesn't seem fair in life. And it doesn't seem fair in life how wisdom and honor can be so quickly undone. Noteworthy character and deeds are rendered useless by a few missteps. That doesn't seem right. If you live a great life for 30 or 40 years and you blow it for a couple, it doesn't seem fair that those couples should totally undo all the others. But let me just throw out a couple names like O.J. Simpson. Now, let me be the first to say more than a few missteps. But we grew up, idolizing. And when I was a junior in high school, And O.J. Simpson was everything in the world of sports. And we went down to the University of Minnesota because USC was playing the Minnesota Gophers. And we had a chance to see O.J. Of course, the sad part of that story is it rained and we had new band uniforms. So the band director piled us all in the bus and we went home and never got to see him. And boy, were we mad. The whole way. Let me throw out another name, Bill Cosby. Man, that was family TV growing up for us. And yet their sins totally destroyed any good they did. When you hear the name Bill Cosby today, do you first think of, oh, what a wonderful, funny man who gave us such entertainment? Or do you think, what a sexual predator he was all those years and kept it hidden? Now, Solomon knows what he's talking about. This is his proverb. And he had such a noteworthy start. His life was an amazing aroma to God in his humility and dependence, the way he had learned from King David. And God had appeared to Solomon and said, Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. And Solomon said, who am I to govern this great people of God? I need wisdom. And God, it was such a pleasing aroma to the Lord that God said, you know, I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. You didn't ask for wealth and the death of your enemies, so I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for and more. And Solomon had such an incredible start. His life was a sweet aroma to God. And then the dead flies. So he knows what he's talking about. In fact, in the Old Testament, there's the big three. that kings were told not to do. Do you remember what they were? Don't accumulate horses, don't accumulate silver, and don't accumulate women. And your mind just runs ahead. You maybe didn't know that Solomon had so many chariots and charioteers and horses that he used entire cities to contain them. He made silver, they said, as common as gravel in the streets, and 700 wives and 300 concubines would appear to me to be an accumulation. That's what made him crazy. Right, men? Oh, that's another message. Let's apply apply this principles. I think dead flies are unaddressed character defects that we allow to go unattended or unchallenged. Have you ever said of somebody or thought, he's really a nice guy, and there was some character issue that totally undid your thought of why he was a good person? Or there's maybe a person you know who you say, well, there's a lot of good things in his life. A lot of good things in our life. But the dead flies, unattended issues, unchallenged issues in our character that ruin it. So it could be blind spots or areas we excuse. You know how someone can say, well, no one's perfect, or everybody has their faults and is mine. So despite the likeness to Christ you may have in many areas, the dead flies outweigh the honor and beauty of that. So I just want to ask you right now, what are your dead flies? Do you know them? Are you attending to them? Are you challenging them in your life? What are your dead flies, and what are you doing about it? Second application, dead flies might be lapses in an otherwise consistent Christian life. Sometimes we fall asleep. We start to neglect, and there's another proverb that says, he who neglects is brother to him who destroys. And I would never set out to destroy a relationship or a ministry, but if I neglect it, I have done the same. And there are times that men and women have wonderful marriages, and then they kind of fall asleep. Or you have a great relationship with God, and you become lukewarm and apathetic. The busyness and difficulties and the people involved are just too much. So you decide you're going to take a vacation from service and church and God. And this lapse in your Christian life sometimes has ill effects. And if it does, it will outweigh your good years of service. Well, he served on the board many years. Yes, but remember. So dead flies can be in a lapse in an otherwise consistent life. And the one that I think about every day is dead flies might refer, like Solomon, to poor choices and the failure to end well. Us older folks, the good that we have done over many years can be lost by a failure to finish well. And I will say to you, this is my daily warning. I want to finish well, lest dead flies give the perfume of my life a bad smell. So, how do we address this issue? I've been out of the habit of preaching for a month. I didn't know I was supposed to fill another 20. I guess I forgot I was supposed to fill another 20 minutes. So maybe you'll like the new Jim that gets to the point and says what he has to say and moves on. All right, because I'm wrapping it up. Not completely, but close to it. I think there's two issues. There's two approaches that people have to addressing the dead flies of their life. We try individually to protect against each sin that is derailing us. So let me give you an example. I have a friend that's not here in our church, so I'm not speaking out of turn. But she swears quite regularly, but tries real hard not to do so in my presence, and slips up a lot. So I hear, sorry, Jim, sorry, Pastor, you know. And she's an example to me that that doesn't work. Doesn't work in my life, doesn't work in yours. Doesn't work if my dead fly is pride. And so I say to myself, okay, every situation today, I'm going to remember to be humble. Okay, I'm going to remember that. Now, well, you can't approach it like that. That approach just doesn't work. We need to address the other side, is that we address core issues, root causes, and not try to just manipulate the surface. So, for instance, if you had a hornet's nest over your door, or those ground wasps under the sidewalk, and you tried to kill each hornet as they tried to enter your house, or tried to sting each person as they entered, you could do that indefinitely. It'd be very laborious. Wouldn't it be better to destroy the nest? And that's what we're talking about. You can say, well, this is my dead fly, and I'm going to work hard on it this week. Or you can say, this dead fly comes as a result of something in my heart, a heart issue, and I need to address that with the Lord. So we regularly to apply the Scripture to our hearts. We renounce any and every form of sin. We offer the parts of our body to Christ. These are daily commands in the Scriptures. I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul often was imploring us to surrender. So we seek to surrender at every moment all to Christ. So let me encourage you to deal with your dead fly, but get to the root causes. So in conclusion, earlier this summer, we kept thinking our house had a bad smell to it. We'd walk in the door from somewhere, and Rhonda, she's got a lot better nose than I did, she would say, oh, our house stinks. And she'd immediately go to the garbage, and she'd take the garbage out from underneath the sink, and she'd flush cleaner down the drains, and she'd blame me for keeping lawn stuff in our garage. And it would go on and on, but the stink continued. And while we were gone on vacation, we discovered we have a broken pipe from the dishwasher and garbage disposal that's been leaking that into the house, saturating some of our wall. Well, no wonder the smell. Now, and we were addressing the surface issues. We were trying to get everything we thought that might stink and remove it from the house. And we were flushing all sorts of stuff down our pipe because we thought it was some kind of plugging that was backing up sewer smells. But all those were surface issues. The root cause was a broken pipe. And so that takes us to another metaphor, but I want to just stick with the original. What are you doing about the dead flies in your life? Do you ever need anybody to pray with you about those things? You know, I read that somewhere just recently. It's my experience as well, that people rarely consult pastors anymore on issues of their life. Isn't that something? But you sometimes need someone, and maybe it's a trusted friend, an elder, or a Christian you admire. But maybe there's someone here today who needs to have some dead flies addressed. Maybe you'd like to come forward as we close and just invite somebody to pray with you. And we would like to be that kind of church, not only friendly and friends, but caring about some of the things that give your life a bad smell. Now, one thing we're not going to do, we're not going to go around to each other and say, you stink. I wouldn't think of saying something like that, but I would think of saying something like that. And really, the message is more about our own hearts, isn't it? What are the dead flies in our life? Father, thank you for this wonderful day that we have to honor you, to worship you, to exalt Jesus as the Savior of the world and via the Holy Spirit, the one who lives in us and changes us. And we don't want there to be any places that go unchallenged, undetected, unaddressed in our lives. They outweigh the good. They undo the good. And so we want to continue to be more people more like Jesus and moving in and moving closer to you. And so help us bring to our mind even now some of those things that we should address throughout the day, maybe sometime this afternoon, as this subconsciously is rolling around in our brain. Bring things out that by your Spirit we will start to make progress in some of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've waited for quite a few weeks to get to preach that message, and as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, even so, a little folly outweighs the honor and the character of what we do. So, blessings on you. We're dismissed.